This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Paul Zeiss Show, brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's official chicken wing of the fan. Archie's home of 80 Cent Wings, Monday through Thursday. Home of the Paul's Ice Grilled Cheese Sandwich. Joe, I screwed up. I walked down the hallway. They had those fireballs. I stuck one in my mouth. My mouth is burning like hell. It's been a long time since I've eaten one of those things. Why do people do this to themselves? Anyway, joining me now is our good friend from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. And that is Dan Kangurski. And Dan, I got to be honest with you. Have you ever intentionally put one of those red hot fireballs in your mouth?
Yeah, but I'm not such a wimp where it burns.
Oh, my God, I can't take it. My mouth is on fire. So I'm just going to have to let you do all the filibustering in this segment.
Well, fortunately, I'm good at that. So if you want to just take a break here, I'll take the next 10 minutes on the penguin.
Well, again, it probably, you know, would take you less than 10 minutes to explain to everybody where Ron Hextall has been and what his next move is.
You know, it's funny. I think a week or 10 days ago, my column actually was titled, "Where is Ron Hextall?" Now, I can confirm that, you know, he's checking out some juniors tournaments in the Great Northwest. But, you know, figuratively, he is a patient guy to the point of inaction. I think that was the way in Philadelphia. A lot of the Flyers brass around Hextall wanted him to act, and they were getting impatient. They were pushing him. Carter Hart, the goalie, you know, calling him up to the NHL became the flashpoint of that. But Hextall's kind of methodical, you know, lack of trades, lack of roster tinkering kind of drove them nuts in Philly. And I think we're seeing a bit of that here in Pittsburgh. Now, I can't speak to the organization around Hextall at the top here, you know, with the Penguins, if they're getting frustrated. But certainly the fan base is. And I think probably at least half of the Penguins media has now kind of begun to call for Hextall to do something. Because clearly something has to be done. This team needs a change, a tweak, or a good shakeup. They clearly need some improvements, but also some changes that might alter their thinking on a day-to-day basis too.
Well, and I think the thing about it is with respect to the Penguins, the question becomes, with their cap situation and with their roster construction and even with what they have in the minors, do they have the ability, do they have enough pieces, do they have enough space, all of that other stuff, to make realistic moves that will change the course of the direction for the season?
Not in the traditional way that fans are used to seeing. You know, look, in the past, you trade, what was it, Zach Aston-Reese, Dominic Simone, goalie prospect, and a draft pick, a number two, for Rickard Rakell. And Anaheim is happy. The Penguins are happy. Everybody goes about their business. That's not going to be the way that trades are made at this year's NHL trade deadline. You almost have to make a second trade either within the big trade or with a third team for cap space. This year, Paul, cap space has been weaponized unlike any other year because so few teams have it that the teams that do have some cap space that aren't competing for a playoff spot have set a premium. The going rate is a number one pick for one of these teams to take on a salaried veteran. Let's say, for example, a Jeff Carter. For the Penguins to trade him would cost them their number one pick in addition to, you know, whatever other particulars of the trade. So you're going to see two assets, or at least two assets, involved in any trade. In more specific terms, that means the Penguins, to make a deal to shake up the team or to acquire anybody, they're going to have to lose like an Owen Pickering, who they picked number one, their number one draft pick, P.O. Joseph, Ty Smith. They're going to have to lose an asset they don't want to lose in order to make a trade for, you know, Lord knows who.
Well, and I think that's the question that you have is, if you were, you know, taking a look at the Penguins roster, what are the legitimate trade pieces that you think they could move and get something for, even if they had to do one of those, you know, we'll call it the Neil Huntington trade, you know, where you have to, in order to get, in order to get rid of Francisco Liriano, they also had to add two prospects. And brought back a pitcher that never came close to making the roster. Obviously, you don't want to do that kind of a deal, but you want to bring someone back that can actually help you. What are the legitimate, what I would call, tradable commodities that the Penguins have?
They don't really have many. I think I just mentioned probably the ones they do have because, look, no team is going to take on Jeff Carter at this point. You know, the Penguins are, for better or worse, stuck with him unless they pay a team in one of those, as you called, Neil Huntington trades. So you're looking at P.O. Joseph. You're looking at Ty Smith. It's kind of funny. Over the last month, I think Brian Dumoulin has gone from untradeable because he wasn't playing well enough to untradeable because they need him. Maybe if Hextall was brave, he could get a little something for Brian Dumoulin. If he's really going to roll the dice, Marcus Pettersson, because they have so many defensemen, and Pettersson has been playing very well this season, that's really about all they have. Brock McGinn might be kind of a toss-in to balance salary in a trade because, you know, he obviously has some talent. He's young enough. He's still fast enough, but he's just not playing very well with the Penguins this season. After that, you have to pay to get rid of a player.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I think, you know, the other problem they have, Dan, and I know that, it's unfortunate, but they need a goalie because as good as Tristan Jarry has been or can be or whatever, how can you rely on him going into the playoffs?
You know, a month ago I would have argued with you. However, this latest injury really sort of cast a pall on his season and his reliability. To show up to the arena, you know, at game time and not be able to play because of an injury. And even Mike Sullivan was kind of like, I don't know when it happened. I don't really know what to tell you. You know, that it all kind of had a bit of a mysterious ring to it that they, you know, he was starting one night and then, you know, in the course of a couple hours, he shut down for at least 2 weeks, you know, through the All-Star break. So I think they really could use some goalie depth. The problem is, Paul, we go back to that whole trade thing and, you know, how do you do it? There aren't a lot of goalies who can help them who are available. I went on Pittsburgh Hockey Now. I went through a handful. What day is today? I guess today is Monday. So it would have been Saturday that I went through them. You know, you go through Anton Khudobin in Dallas, who's been in the AHL for 2 years. He's 36. You look at Aiden Hill, who's the second or third goalie in Las Vegas, but he's kind of a journeyman. Trying to think of who else. Jonas Corposalo in Columbus, whose save percentage in the last 2 years were like 870 and 890, not even up to 900. There's not exactly a bumper crop that the Penguins would be picking from unless, I hate to put this out there in public, but unless the Penguins were willing to trade Tristan Jarry for a starting goalie. That would be I don't think that's realistic or plausible, but, you know, if we're playing wild GM theories, that would be really one of the easier paths.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. I mean, it really paints the picture of a team that doesn't have a ton of options and a ton of ways to really improve itself, does it? I mean, it seems like they are, for better or worse, with maybe a few tweaks here and there, stuck is sort of where they're at right now.
Paul, you look back at 2009, Bill Guerin, you know, kind of a minor-ish sort of trade, a middle trade that changed the course of the team. You look at 2016 and 17, basically a cast-off free agent, Matt Cullen, changed, I think, the course of the team because of that leadership that they were able to hold the Penguins' core, the Penguins' big three or four. Those guys were able to hold them accountable. And I don't know that that is in place right now. So it is, in theory, possible if the Penguins kind of found some guys out there who could hold their core accountable. Otherwise, you have to ask, here's the primary question for Ron Hextall, Brian Burke, and the organization, and that is, what is this season worth to you? If it's worth everything, then you have to go all in, and then you have to give up assets that you don't want to give up to salvage this season. If this season is a transition year, then you kind of sit on your hands and shrug and say, well, we couldn't do anything. Here's the team that we signed. Go get it. That's, I think we'll find out which avenue they choose.
Do you think there's any chance that Ron Hextall could be asked to move on with his life's work at the end of this year if things don't get better?
If the Penguins miss the playoffs, there will have to be a scapegoat. Maybe scapegoat is maybe the wrong term, but some significant changes will have to occur if this season was that important. Now, if behind the scenes Hextall was being told to transition to the next chapter and this is just kind of for show with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, then no, he won't be sent along his way. But if this season is truly win now and all in, and the Penguins miss the playoffs, I don't think I'd be buying green bananas.
True. That's a good saying. Now, when you look at this team and what's ailing it the most, would you say it is the bottom six? Would you say it's keeping the old stars together? Would you say it's goaltending? Would you say it's defense? Would you say it's Mike Sullivan not actually utilizing his player? I mean, what would you say is ailing this team the most?
Well, I'll work backwards from that. And, you know, I know some fans are just furious with Mike Sullivan for lineup decisions, but it's hard to argue with most of his lineup decisions. That's kind of a frustration that is rearing its head, but isn't necessarily legitimate. The mistakes throughout the lineup are fantastic. I mean, they're just jaw-dropping, amazing mistakes throughout the course of the game, almost on a nightly basis, that makes you just scratch your head and wonder what in the world is going on with these guys. I think a better bottom six would change the complexion of this team overnight. A third line that can take the puck out of the defensive zone, push it deep into the offensive zone, create a little bit of pressure once in a while, and get that, you know, get the top line, get Malkin's line on the ice in the offensive zone with some momentum, that would change everything overnight. But right now, Teddy Bluger and Jeff Carter are not getting that done, and it kind of creates just a backslide for the lineup. It forces the Penguins' top six to have to play defense and have to play 200 feet instead of 50 feet. It forces them to have to create momentum instead of capitalizing on it, and it just kind of brings everybody down. Having said that, the mistakes defensively, even in, you know, the Penguins' top two lines are jaw-dropping, and the mistakes by the, you know, the top four defensemen are amazing to watch every night. Like, you know, they know better than some of these peewee mistakes of both guys going behind the net or three guys collapsing on the puck, leaving somebody wide open in front of the net. That stuff shouldn't happen even on bad teams. And for it to happen on a good team, you know, in addition to improving the bottom six, they really have to take a breath and hit that reset button or find their mindset to play basic hockey sometimes.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a really interesting ride to the end of this year, because I think by the end of this year we're going to know a whole lot about what direction the future of this franchise is going, won't we?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. This seems to be really a tipping point that none of us saw coming quite this quickly.
Dan, thank you so much for jumping in and joining us, and hopefully we see you soon, sir.
All right, Archie's.
All right, absolutely. That is Dan Kangurski, Pittsburgh Hockey Now. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I was watching a video of one Jim Boeheim. Syracuse lost tonight to Virginia. They lost by, I don't know, about 6 points or something. I don't know what it is. But Joel, you have to do yourself a favor, okay? Any night that Syracuse loses, you got to go to YouTube and find the post-game press conference, because there's always going to be a gem from Boeheim, who was old and cranky about 20 years ago. But now, he's just so miserable when they lose a game. And, of course, you know, Benny Williams is one of their players who's, you know, he's logged a bunch of minutes for them or whatever. He didn't play tonight. Wasn't in uniform tonight. Syracuse didn't send a press release out about it before the game. So what do you naturally think the first question out of the chute probably is going to be? You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, if Jamarius Burton probably, let's say, if, for instance, Nelly Cummings didn't dress for a game, don't you think that would be the first question out of the chute to Jeff Capel?
Most definitely, especially if it wasn't, you know, announced pregame.
Right. And Jim Boeheim, of course, goes into his routine where he says, really? That's the first question? You don't have a better question than that? That's the first question? And the reporter says, well, he wasn't in uniform. And you know what his reply was? Your attitude is not really good. And it goes downhill from there. Every time the guy loses, every time the Pitt loses, I'm sorry, every time Syracuse loses, I make sure to watch the post game, because Jim Boeheim is entertaining in that he's this old crotchety guy now. His teams are just mediocre nowadays, and he knows it. They're never getting back. He's got some good young players on this team, Joel. How many of them are going to stay at Syracuse, right? There are a couple of them are going to go. They'll have to try and recruit again. You know, Roy Williams, Jay Wright, a couple guys like that, they realized that they didn't want to coach in this world of NIL and, you know, all the other stuff. And so they retired or got out of it. It won't shock me if Jay Wright ends up an NBA coach, signs a, you know, five-year, $50 million deal, gets fired after a year and a half and just retires knowing he's got $50 million coming, right? I mean, if he's going to coach in the NBA, he might as well go. I mean, if he's going to coach a professional team, he might as well go to the NBA where they're going to pay him a ton of money. He doesn't have to worry about recruiting and all the other stuff. Boeheim is going to hang on as long as they'll let him hang on, but he needs to get out. Boeheim needs to get out because, number one, he no longer is able to, you know, recruit the kind of kids he used to recruit. Number two, this world of college athletics goes against everything he believes in. He's an old crotchety guy. And you know what? When a couple of his freshmen that are really good decide to transfer in the offseason, he'll lose his mind. He's the kind of guy who is trying to chase that past glory that is never going to come back. And I know that I just said, hey, you know what? You can get old in a hurry. You can get better in a hurry. You go out and get transfer portal. But you have to want to do that. You have to want to be able to make the case. You come here. You know, you signed there. You've been there for 2 or 3 years. You come here, I'll help you get to the NBA. But I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to prove that he can do it his way. And I think that that's where he's at right now. So it's kind of funny to me when you think about it that this guy is a guy who they're probably going to have to make a decision about. They really are. And he's going to be, it's really difficult. It's really difficult to move on from a guy who's a legend like that. Just is. Even if they're losing. You know, what's he been? Five or six Final Fours, a national championship, you know, countless Big East titles and everything else. He's been Syracuse basketball for how long? I think he's going on 45 years or something. He was at Syracuse as the head coach before Syracuse was in the Big East, before the Big East was even formed. And so it makes it really difficult, but it's always entertaining to me. It's always entertaining to me when he loses and he's got to listen, and you listen to him grumble and growl at reporters. That's it for me. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. Be back on next Monday. Until then, enjoy the night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.